Well, good morning. Welcome once again to Firm Foundation Christian Church. Our scripture text this morning is taken from the book of Judges. Judges chapter 13 and verse 18 will serve as our text. This is printed in your bulletin. There's also a companion paper to the sermon, which is about the closest thing to a transcript you're ever going to get here on the table, if you want to take these things home with you, because there were just too many scriptures for me to write out for the notes, so I typed it up. And in this way here, we can have a second benefit if anybody wants to take it home and review it. Judges 13:18 reads as follows. And the angel of the Lord said to him, "Why do you ask my name, seeing it is wonderful?" So we're going to take our text in two parts this morning. First, we're going to take our text within its full context, and then we are going to consider who it is that is called wonderful. Beginning in Judges chapter 13 and verse 1, we read again, "The children of Israel did evil in the sight of the Lord." This doesn't surprise us if we've read through Judges up to this point. And it probably doesn't surprise us all that much as we read through our own lives up to the point where we're at. "And the Lord delivered them into the hand of the Philistines for 40 years. So here we have the first two cycles of the book of Judges. The cycle of sin and the cycle of bondage. The third cycle is prayer. The fourth, deliverance. And the fifth, rest. So basically the children of Israel are going to go back on the merry-go-round or the hamster wheel or whatever analogy you would like for this. In verse 2 we read, "Now there was a certain man from Zorah of the family of the Danites whose name was Manoah, and his wife was barren and had no children. And the angel of the Lord appeared to the woman and said to her, 'Indeed, now you are barren and have borne no children, but you shall conceive and bear a son. Now therefore, please be careful not to drink wine or similar drink, and not to eat anything unclean. For behold, you shall conceive and bear a son, and no razor shall come upon his head, for the child shall be a Nazarite to God from the womb, and he shall begin to deliver Israel out of the hand of the Philistines.'" So, the angel of the Lord appears to Mrs. Manoah. We're going to call her Mrs. Manoah because the Bible doesn't tell us what her first name was. And it is foretold that she will bear a son, even though she has been barren. And of course, in the understanding of ancient Israel, barrenness or the inability to bear children was understood as a curse from God. This is the way that it was interpreted. And so the Lord, from time to time, would do a beautiful thing, and he would turn the curse, as it were, as he did in the case of Sarah, and again in the case of Hannah, and here in the case of Mrs. Manoah. So, it is further revealed that Mrs. Manoah's son will be a Nazarite from the womb. And in Numbers chapter 6, we have a description of what it means to be a Nazarite. So there are certain things that you can and cannot do. Other Nazarites in the Bible are Samuel and John the Baptist. Many people believe that John the Baptist was also a Nazarite, although it's not expressly said in so many words. Continuing in verse 6, "So the woman came and told her husband, saying, 'A man of God came to me, and his countenance was like the countenance of the angel of God. Very awesome, but I did not ask him where he was from, and he did not tell me his name. And he said to me, "Behold, you shall conceive and bear a son. Now drink no wine or similar drink, nor eat anything unclean, for the child shall be a Nazarite to God from the womb to the day of his death.' And then Manoah prayed to the Lord and said, 'O my Lord, please let the man of God whom you sent come to us again and teach us what we shall do for the child who will be born.'" So Mrs. Manoah goes and tells her husband, Mr. Manoah, about the visitation, and the man of the house proceeds to pray for further divine guidance. So now, essentially, what is happening is the children of Israel had done evil in the sight of the Lord, so they went back into the cycle again, the cycle of sin. They went into bondage to the Philistines for 40 years, and now not only is the nation groaning, but the Lord has raised up a particular family, a particular couple in Israel who are godly, whose prayers will be heard, and through whose loins a deliverance will be accomplished. And God listened to the voice of Manoah. And the angel of God came to the woman again as she was sitting in the field. But Manoah, her husband, was not with her. And then the woman ran in haste and told her husband and said to him, "Look, the man who came to me the other day has just now appeared to me." So Manoah arose and followed his wife. And when she came to the man, he said to him, "Are you the man who spoke to this woman?" And he said, "I am." Manoah said, "Now let your words come to pass. What will be the boy's rule of life in his work?" So the angel of the Lord said to Manoah, "Of all that I said to the woman, let her be careful. She may not eat anything that comes from the vine, nor may she drink wine or similar drink, nor eat anything unclean. All that I commanded her, let her observe." Notice that I paused when the angel of the Lord said, "I am." I hope this will give you a little bit of an advanced clue to the identity of this angelic visitor. So the angel of the Lord returns and he offers some guidance. He answers Manoah's prayer. When we pray to God for guidance, the Lord sees this as a very reasonable prayer. And he answers Manoah, and he answers you and I today too when we pray such a prayer. Then Manoah said to the angel of the Lord, "Please let us detain you, and we'll prepare a young goat for you." And the angel of the Lord said to Manoah, "Though you detain me, I will not eat your food. But if you offer a burnt offering, you must offer it to the Lord." For Manoah did not know he was the angel of the Lord. And then Manoah said to the angel of the Lord, "What is your name, that when your words come to pass, we may honor you?" So Manoah and his wife offer to entertain the angel of the Lord. You know, unwittingly, there are some who have entertained angels unaware. And in this case, this couple, Manoah and Mrs. Manoah, were actually entertaining the very Son of God, a theophany, the second person of the Trinity. So Manoah asks him his name, and the angel of the Lord said to him, "Why do you ask me my name, seeing it is wonderful?" So the angel of the Lord responds. This is our text, and that word wonderful comes from the Hebrew root word pele, P-E-L-E, which is a word that means wonderful, and it is used in the scriptures only of God. So that is a word that certainly would have identified the divine nature of this particular angelic visitor. So Manoah took the young goat with the grain offering and offered it upon the rock to the Lord. And he did a wondrous thing while Manoah and his wife looked on. It happened as the flame went up toward heaven from the altar, the angel of the Lord ascended in the flame of the altar. When Manoah and his wife saw this, they fell on their faces to the ground. When the angel of the Lord appeared no more to Manoah and his wife, then Manoah knew that he was the angel of the Lord. And Manoah said to his wife, "We shall surely die because we have seen God." But his wife said to him, "If the Lord had desired to kill us, he would not have accepted a burnt offering and a grain offering from our hands. Nor would he have shown us all these things, nor would he have told us such things as these at this time." So Manoah and his wife now clearly recognize this is no ordinary angelic visitor. This was the angel of the Lord. And when we find angel of the Lord preceded by the definite article, the angel of the Lord, we're dealing with God himself. So as we have alluded to, this is what is known as an Old Testament theophany. You also may have heard the term Christophany, which is more specific in that it identifies the theophany as a pre-incarnate appearance of Jesus Christ, visitation of the Son of God to men. So the woman bore a son and called his name Samson, and the child grew, and the Lord blessed him. And the Spirit of the Lord began to move upon him at Mahanadan between Zorah and Eshtaol. So, Mrs. Manoah bears the son that God had promised. She calls him Samson because God would give him extraordinary strength for the purpose of delivering his people Israel from the Philistine bondage. Now, in the Hebrew language, people were named by something that would be descriptive of their character or something descriptive of their mission in life. And therefore, he was named, the child was named Samson. The Hebrew root of that word from which we get Samson has a meaning and connotation of strength. They can be translated a few different ways, but that idea of strength is involved. The Old Testament prophet Isaiah spoke of Jesus. He called him Wonderful, saying, "For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government will be upon his shoulder, and his name will be called Wonderful, Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace." So let us consider some of the ways in which the angel of the Lord is wonderful. We know him by yet another name, Jesus Christ, which is a reference, Jesus, to his purpose and his humanity, that he came to save, that he came to save all men and women from their sins by paying the penalty for all sin at the cross. And he died and was buried, and he rose again the third day, offering as proof of his ability to make good on his promise by the fact that he rose himself from the dead. Jesus is wonderful in many ways. And as I was thinking about this, I started rehearsing in my mind and meditating upon how wonderful Jesus is. Jesus is a wonderful blank. And I've come up with seven things. Seven, of course, being the divine number, so why not choose seven? But I suppose we could have chosen 40, but we do have perhaps other engagements today. So we're going to hold it at seven this morning. Jesus is a wonderful friend. "No longer do I call you servants, for a servant does not know what his master is doing, but I have called you friends. For all things that I heard from my Father I have made known to you." Now Jesus originally spoke these words to his disciples, the apostles, in the upper room, but these words resonate even today. "Men who has friends must himself be friendly, but there is a friend who sticks closer than a brother. A friend loves at all times, and a brother is born for adversity." Jesus is a wonderful friend. Jesus is a wonderful healer. "Then the blind and the lame came to him in the temple, and he healed them. But when the chief priests and the scribes saw the wonderful things that he did, and the children crying out in the temple and saying, 'Hosanna to the Son of David,' they were indignant and said to him, 'Do you hear what these are saying? If Jesus has healed your body, give him glory. If Jesus has not healed you physically in some way, shape, or form, give him glory, knowing that his strength is being made perfect through your weakness. If Jesus has given healing to your soul, you truly have much to rejoice about. For Jesus is a wonderful healer. Jesus is a wonderful teacher. And so it was when Jesus had ended these sayings that the people were astonished at his teaching. For he taught them as one having authority and not as the scribes. You call me teacher and Lord, and you say, well, for so I am. If I then, your Lord and teacher, have washed your feet, you also ought to wash one another's feet. For I have given you an example that you should do as I have done to you. Now Jesus was a wonderful teacher. He taught with divine authority. Jesus also is a wonderful teacher in that he taught by example. Jesus is a wonderful helper. Therefore, in all things he had to be made like his brethren, that he might be a merciful and faithful high priest in things pertaining to God, to make propitiation for the sins of the people, for in that he himself has suffered, being tempted, he is able to aid those who are tempted. He is able to help. He stands at the ready waiting to help when we call and ask him for help. Jesus is a wonderful helper. He gives us help not always according to the letter of the law as we dictate to him, but he gives us help according to the letter of his perfect purpose and perfect will. Jesus is a wonderful Lord. For you know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though he was rich, yet for your sakes he became poor, that you through his poverty might become rich. Jesus always has our best interests at heart, and he proved it, even to the point of offering up himself as a sacrifice for our sins, that we might become partakers of the riches of his salvation, that we might not be left to our own devices. For if that was so, friends, we would still be dead in our sins. Christ did not die in vain. He died for you. Jesus is a wonderful God. And without controversy, great is the mystery of godliness. God was manifested in the flesh, justified in the spirit, seen by angels, preached among the Gentiles, believed on in the world, received up in glory. And in all these things, we come to our last point. Jesus is a wonderful Savior. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish but have everlasting life. Therefore, he is also able to save to the uttermost those who come to God through him, since he always lives to make intercession for them. Jesus loves all people. He loves the world as a whole. But he also loves each person. And he loves you as an individual, as a child, as one created and made in his own image, albeit marred because of sin. He is not only able to save, but he is willing to save. He didn't die for sin, rise again, and sit down at the right hand of power and said, forget about these guys. They've gone above and beyond in their sin. And we have I suppose he'd have a right to, but it's not in his character. Because Jesus Christ is a faithful God. He tells the truth. And he makes a promise and says that whoever believes in him should not perish but have everlasting life. You can mark it down. He's going to make good on it. And when he says that he's able to save to the uttermost and to keep those who come to God through him, mark it down, he's going to do it. So friend, he desires to save your soul today. And if this he's done, he desires to minister to it today. For he is a wonderful Savior. If you're done trying to be your own wonderful Savior, finding out that it's not working out so well, try Jesus. The Jesus is truly the angel of the Lord, the wonderful Savior. No true child of God has ever been disappointed with the results. Amen? Amen. Heavenly Father, we thank you for our wonderful God and Savior, Jesus Christ, who has been, is, and will continue to be so many wonderful things to us. Lord, may all of these truths laid forth in the Scripture, all of these truths about you, O God, make their impact upon our hearts. And we may we go forth acting accordingly with hearts of faith, thanksgiving, and gratefulness that our wonderful God came down and did for us what we could not do. Make the way to eternal life. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. We'll now offer one another the sign of peace.